I invite you just to lean into the story this morning. It's a familiar story, but remember that first Easter, it was all new, and hope dawned fresh on humanity. So in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, it says this: early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken the Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where they have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had seen these things. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. You know, sometimes a phrase can change everything in life. And I want to begin with a true story this morning. And time when Napoleon and the French troops were sweeping throughout Europe and conquering the then known world as Napoleon had intended to be. And the British were worried about Napoleon conquering all of Britain. General Wellington went to go to battle against Napoleon with the British troops and with all the Allied troops, and people in Britain waited anxiously for the news. And the news was supposed to go of the battle from by messenger from the mainland all the way to the coast, where it would be transmitted by semaphore or flashes of light across the English Channel. It was a particularly foggy night, and the people gathered in London waiting for the signals, and when they looked across the channel, what they saw was by semaphore or light flashes the message, "Wellington defeated." And they were thrown into deep despair, and then the fog began to clear a bit, and the message came across again, "Wellington defeated the enemy," and that changed everything. Their despair and their worry and their fear all of a sudden turned to hope and joy, and a great celebration began. Well, that's only one part of the phrase that makes all the difference than Jesus when it says, "He is not here, but he is risen." And we've been going through this purpose-driven life, and I hope you've enjoyed this series. You don't have to read the book in order to appreciate the message, but we've looked at some of the purposes in life. We looked at worship or the power for living, and we looked at fellowship as part of belonging to God's family. It's not just about believing, but also about belonging. And we looked at discipleship or becoming like Christ, and we looked at service, that we all have gifts and talents. We're formed in a certain shape that we can use those gifts and talents for Christ, and our mission is, in fact, to use the gifts and talents. And then last week, we looked at Christ's mission, that he was mission-driven in order to go to the cross so we might know forgiveness and new life and to bridge the gap between our sins and shortcomings and the holiness of God because of the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this morning, we look at us experiencing Christ and to share that mission. And the first thing to say is this is the good news that changes everything. It changes everything in our life. And sometimes we take that Easter story for granted, but you think about that moment, that first Easter morning, and it says it was still dark. Disciples were back in the room, probably huddled, very fearful, behind locked doors, and Mary had the courage. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and they're full of despair and grief and fear. And they didn't go to the tomb because they thought Jesus had arose. They went to the tomb out of devotion and duty because they didn't know what else to do. They were going to put some perfume there and maybe some flowers. We look at these beautiful flowers this morning. But they were driven not by hope, but by duty and devotion. And you know, sometimes in our own life, when we're full of grief and despair and doubt and difficulty and even have tears in our eyes, I encourage us to walk towards Jesus, not to walk away. And when we do that, something special happens, just like it happened to Mary. And so all of a sudden, she came around the corner and she saw the tomb. And to her amazement, this huge stone was rolled away. And she probably didn't even know when she got there how that might happen. And in those times, it was a stone was on a track. You can probably see on the slide. You can see this, what may have been the tomb where Christ was laid. And the stone was sort of on a downhill grade. And then to draw the stone away, then you had to roll it back. And so she went and she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And when she saw the stone was rolled away, she didn't know what to do. So she went back to where the disciples were staying, and she shared the news with them that this tomb was empty. And so the disciples didn't know what to do either, but they knew they needed to run to that spot where Jesus had gone from the tomb. And as they were running on the way, they probably had a lot going through their minds, and they still hadn't put the pieces together. And it says that there was a bit of a race. So Peter and John, and the Gospels record, John's Gospel records the disciple whom Jesus loved. And in Near Eastern culture, you don't sort of do the fanfare like we do, like you're front and center. You are very sort of humble and refer to yourself in different ways. But it also demonstrates, I think, that God loves each and every one of us. And so John is putting in the perspective of the one who experienced Christ's love. And so Peter and John are having a race. And it says that John outran Peter and got to the tomb, but he didn't go inside. He stayed there and was looking inside. And then it says that Peter went straight in past John into the tomb, and he looked and he began to believe. And in fact, it's an unusual word that's used there for Peter saw. I mean, usually it's a different Greek word, but here it's the word thereo. And you probably recognize that. It's the word that we get theory from. And it's unusual. It's not usually used. And so when we think about theory, we think about trying to put the pieces together in our lives and in the theory. And so Peter was still putting the pieces together in a way that made sense for him. They still didn't put all the pieces together that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But John says that he saw and believed. And it's an interesting word because it's the word that we get epistemology from. Epistemology just means the science of knowing and knowing that you know. So John put it all together, and somehow the spark of faith created an incredible belief, and Peter was putting it all together. But the important thing is, as they took that step of faith or were willing to take that step of faith in their doubt, in their struggles, in their difficulty, then God met them in an act of faith that changed everything in life. And in the same way in our lives, sometimes we're struggling with doubt and difficulty and fear and tragedy, but God can take the tragedy and turn it into triumph because of the resurrection, because that is the news that changes everything in our hearts and lives. And I want us to think about for a moment and lean into the part of the hope that transforms our lives. You think about for a moment, I mean, the disciples, Peter and John, they scrambled back to the room to tell the disciples what had happened in that moment. And Mary was just overcome. She wondered. And she was still crying. And I love that because God met her in her tears. And I think in the same way, so many times in our own lives, sometimes we have to embrace the place of our fears and our tears if God is going to meet us there. And I wonder in our own life, maybe you're going through something, maybe it's financial difficulties, the loss of a loved one, facing an illness, whatever it is. You haven't put the pieces together and you haven't maybe allowed God to meet you there. And sometimes it isn't the place of victory, it's the place of fears and the place of tears that Christ meets us in the greatest way. Because then the resurrection power can turn tragedy to triumph. So Mary stayed and Mary lingered and Mary wept and Mary let her tears flow down. But then she sort of leaned inside and looked in the tomb and she saw the most amazing thing. She saw two angels. There was no mistake. There were two angels, one at where Jesus' head had been and one where his feet had been. And it says this, and now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And Mary said, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him." And then at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. And maybe it was the morning light, the dawn beginning to shine, and Jesus was a bit away. And of course, he's in a resurrected form, and she didn't realize she's overcome with grief, and she didn't recognize him for whatever reason. And she thought he was the gardener, and so she said, "Sir, if you have taken him away, please tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Then Jesus, in this beautiful moment, says her name, Mary. And in that moment, when Jesus speaks her name, it says that Mary recognized him, and she said, "Rabboni," which means teacher in Aramaic. And she was overcome in that moment, and isn't it just like Jesus? I mean, if you and I were raised from the dead, and we had a moment of victory, and we had been crucified and tortured and given an unjust trial, wouldn't you and I probably want everybody to know? Wouldn't we be back in Jerusalem? Wouldn't we be looking for Pilate to tell Pilate a thing or two? But not Jesus. Jesus is where people are wrestling with doubts and tears and fears in their life. And Jesus is about to give a personal experience to Mary Magdalene, who was a person with a troubled past. And she was a woman in a very patriarchal society. And Jesus stayed there because that was the most important thing for Jesus. And so when Jesus spoke her name, Mary, then she recognized him as the teacher and as the great teacher of all things. And in that moment, everything changed. Mary's fears turned to peace. Mary's sorrow turned to joy. And Mary's sorrow became hope. And I think in our own life, sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Because Jesus can do that for us. And we might not be able to understand all the things about life and even about faith, but sometimes when we go through a tragedy and the sorrow, we find peace. And in our fears, we find strength and courage. And the darkness can turn to light because of the resurrection. And Jesus says this. He said, "Do not hold me back." Now, some translations read, "Don't touch me." But the better translation reads, "Do not hold me back, for I've yet to ascend to the Father." In other words, Jesus was saying, "I have a mission yet to complete to bring reconciliation to you and to all people." And John reminds us just before this that when Jesus was crucified and he said, "It is finished," then there was this veil that was in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, that was ripped from top to bottom, that only God could do that. And it reminds us that prior to Christ, that the high priest, and only a high priest, could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year in the most holy day. He had to have all his sins forgiven, and he had to take a spotless lamb, perfect, without blemish, and to sacrifice that. And if it didn't take place, then he would be killed himself. And that Holy of Holies was the place where forgiveness was made, but that was only a symbol of what was to happen. And so John said that veil was ripped from top to bottom, symbolizing that now we can enter into the Holy of Holies because of what Christ did, who is our high priest, who is also the sacrifice that makes all things possible for our forgiveness and our grace and our new life. And so Jesus was accomplishing that by being reunited with the Father and bridging the gap between ourselves and God. And then Jesus says some of the most beautiful words. He says, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." What beautiful words. What beautiful words. "Go tell my brothers who are wrestling with fear and doubt and difficulty that it's my God and your God, my Father and your Father." And the reason that it can be our God is because what Christ has done. We don't need a mediator. We don't need someone between ourselves and God, because Christ is that one. We can know Christ is our Father, our Abba Father, who loves us and embraces us with a love that changes everything in the most incredible way. And this morning, sometimes all of us, I guess, have struggled with sins and shortcomings, but Christ has made all things possible. Listen to how Paul phrases it in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Paul says, "When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ," just like the resurrection. "He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." In other words, Jesus has taken all our sins and shortcomings, and as if it was a debt, and nailed it to cross, saying, "It is paid in full. It is finished." And because the resurrection has changed everything. And so today, as we're thinking about our own lives and whatever struggles we're going through, whatever pieces we're having to put together, realize that the hope that we have in the resurrection of Christ changes everything in our life. It changes the fears that we have and gives us courage and hope. It changes the tears that we have and gives us peace and joy, just like the disciples did. And if you're struggling with doubt, know this, that God places himself between us and God. God will make the difference. Whether it's Peter and John struggling in different ways or Mary struggling through her tears, God met them both. The story isn't over in their life, and the story isn't open in our lives. And so this Easter morning, I encourage you to embrace the good news of the resurrection anew. Embrace the hope that transforms everything in our life, because God loves us enough to say that it's my God and your God, my Father and your Father, because of the forgiveness and the resurrection of Christ. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you for Easter morning. We know that Easter morning changes everything. It changes everything because it's not just a holiday, but it's a celebration that you not only gave your life on the cross that we can know forgiveness and new life, but through the power of the resurrection, we can have hope of life eternal. We know that you can take the greatest tragedy and triumph over it for the greatest victory. We know that no matter what happens in this life, that we will be reunited in victory in the next life. We know that you will wipe away all of our tears and you will embrace us with the peace that transcends all understanding. We know that in the greatest darkness, the greatest light breaks through with hope of life eternal, because what you did for us that Easter morning. So thank you. Help us to embrace that news and to allow your life to transform our lives through your power to your glory. Amen.